Supervisors, please take your seat. I call this meeting, the planning meeting of the La Crosse County Board to order at 6 o'clock. Sign in on your computers. Is there anyone who needs to sign in? We have 23 present. That's a quorum. First item of business is the County Board Chair Report. Are there any? Oh, shit. Sorry. Sorry. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. It could get better. County Board Chair Report, I will bring your attention to this that's on everyone's desk. A sand mining panel discussion. If you want to go, you have to do two things. One is call Carl Green, his number's at the top, and two is to fill out a form for permission to travel. Are there any supervisor conference reports or announcements? Seeing none, we'll move on to the administrator report. Mr. O'Malley.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the first item I have is proclamation October 2012 Solid Waste and Recycling Month, whereas La Crosse County Solid Waste programs in part include waste energy, household hazardous materials collection, asphalt shingle recycling, treatment of petroleum-impacted soils, and trailer home recycling. La Crosse County Solid Waste Program has achieved green tier status. And whereas all residents have an ongoing responsibility to participate in sustainability through decreasing the amount of garbage that is produced in our homes, schools, communities, and workplace by practicing waste reduction, recycling, and buying recycled products, now therefore be it resolved, the La Crosse County Board does hereby proclaim the month of October 2012 as La Crosse County Solid Waste and Recycling Month and urges all residents to join in recognizing the valuable contribution of persons dedicated to the welfare of La Crosse County residents.
It's a motion by Supervisor Landry, second by Supervisor Johnson. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
One other small item that I have on my desk for those of you that are interested, and I can give you more information. There's a public meeting Wednesday, October 24th from 1 to 7 in Cashton regarding the American Transmission Company's plans for the Badger Cooley transmission line. I know Supervisor Pedretti had a particular interest in this, and I mentioned that to her before the meeting. So if anyone else is interested, that's also available. This one that they've given to me is saying it's in Cashton. Are they trying to mislead us?
Well,
okay, Tuesday, October 23rd is the one at on Alaska. I'm sorry, the cover letter said. Okay, so I was misleading you. I apologize. And Cashton is not in our county, I note. So it's okay. So again, if anybody wants more information about it, we have a copy of that. Is to do a little bit more highlighting of the budget itself. Hopefully you've had some time. I've had a few questions from board members. Feel free throughout the whole process if you want to interact with department heads or myself or finance and any particular questions. We'll do everything we can to give you information. A couple of the slides that I'll show tonight are a little bit repetitious, but I'm going to give you some more additional information and walk through some of the information, how the budget book is organized, as well as the handouts. So let me just first, before I get into it, does anybody have any particular questions that they thought of right now, or should I just go through the presentation and see if it stimulates questions as we go along? That'd be all right. Just to remind everybody, this is committee week. We're starting to go through committee review with each of the budgets that report to your area. PRD started theirs last week, and I know they're going to continue a number of their discussions at their following meeting. And then, of course, today we had aging and long-term care, veterans aging and long-term care, and public works and infrastructure. A lot of good questions, a lot of good dialogue that we've had so far. Let's see. Hopefully this will work. The main achievements of the 2013 budget, when it's all said and done, if you're able to adopt the recommended budget that as your administrator and with the team effort of all of our departments and staff, the three top things that I think we accomplished this budget are, after 3 years of a 0% operating levy increase, this budget would increase the operating levy by just over 1% and leave the operating rate at the same. $3.13, which is almost $500,000 below the limit that we would be allowed to levy. As I mentioned before, there are a number of reasons, even though there are plenty of needs that we could target that additional $500,000. It continues our tradition of not going to the maximum each time we're able, as well as with the levy limits that we'll talk about with the levy rate. It provides us future room depending upon what happens with future levy limit and rate limit rules. It is $500,000 below that, and based on our initial analysis of counties that are similarly ranked to us, we expect to be able to, with this budget, still maintain the fifth lowest per capita in the state. Second and most importantly, one of the main accomplishments that we get out of this budget is well over $400,000 of increased operating year-in, year-out maintenance for highways, and this will be the most ambitious road project year that we've accomplished during the period of time that I've been your administrator. $4.9 million for County Trunk Highway OA, over 2.6 miles of realignment and reconstruction from basically the golf course at Fox Hollow to the base of FO. It's been one of the ongoing safety projects that's been needed. This year in your 2012 budget, of course, you've been finalizing design, acquiring right-of-way, acquiring the property that's necessary to widen and to straighten out this particular area. But to give you a rule of thumb, most years we do approximately $2.1 million worth of work. This is how large this project is. And for those of you that follow along, it's actually highlighted in the goldenrod portion of your budget book in capital. And I'll touch on that a little bit later. Finally, the 2013 budget sets the stage for major future decisions. It doesn't assume every one of these decisions, but it sets the stage that you will have a significant amount of time in 2013 evaluating the next several items. That $115,000 or $314,000 worth of a levy increase is targeted to jail staffing or highway maintenance. That's in organization 1064, if you want to start following along in the budget. Page 37 of the document has a line item specifically for this. It's account number 79127. It's a line item of $314,200. If you were to accept keeping that in the budget during the first quarter of next year, we will come back with a recommendation on whether to spend that on jail staffing or increase highway maintenance in a specific line item. The county board will make that decision next year if you leave this line item in there. That is, I'm sorry, page 37 of the budget book. It's organization 1064, which is non-departmental. And it's in expenses, 79127. Other than this line item, the entire budget operating levy is held to zero across the board, though each individual department may vary. This is a specific dollar amount, and you will need to come back and consider our recommendation after the start of the year. Secondly, for future decisions, obviously, is the future of Lakeview, who we serve, proper sizing, location, and hopefully a building decision. Recognize that the budget does not assume that decision is made. It will require you to react to the recommendations and input from the governing committee as well as the consultant, the two consultants that are working on that information. So again, you will have to make that decision in 2013. There is no line item in the budget that pays for a new building or actually incurs debt. You will have to make that decision. That will be a two-thirds decision of the board in the new year. In addition to that, we provide for some architectural and engineering analysis of this building to try to make some long-term decisions about the deferred maintenance in this building to either remodel or replace the building. But again, all that's provided is the actual architectural analysis, not assuming a decision of this body. And finally, increasing highway funding, as I said, the $400,000, but much more is needed. In the future, you will need to examine various options, and I'll talk about that at a future slide as well. So the three big items that I think we accomplish is we continue to control the operating levy at a very strict and small amount, a 1% increase after 3 years of operating levy at only a zero. We infuse a great deal of new investment into our road system in ongoing maintenance to try to stay ahead of, to some extent, the increasing maintenance demands, and doing a major project, the largest that we've done during almost 10 years that I've been your administrator, and we set the stage for major capital decisions into future budget years.
Excuse me, Mr. O'Malley, do you want questions as you go along?
Anytime people have questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you hear me now? Okay. Steve, I think I know the answer to this question, but could you explain how you came up with $314,200 for that that purpose?
It's the amount of new construction that allows us to raise the levy without increasing the rate.
No. I'm sorry. I'm talking about the jail staffing or highway maintenance.
Right. The 1.15% is the amount that we can raise the tax levy to not increase the rate. That generates $314,200.
Okay. Because I thought the answer was, and I understand your answer. I mean, when you say jail staffing, obviously there's been an analysis of how much it would cost to increase our staffing operations.
Right. Five or six positions would be closer to $400,000. Six positions would be $382,000. It's not sufficient to fund that. The $314,000 was the maximum we could increase without raising the tax rate. So if you make a decision in the new year, we won't be hiring all of those people at the start of the year.
Okay. So my question, I guess it's a future question, but I think it applies now, is what is the minimal amount of money it would take to, I think you suggested in previous meetings that we'd open up a pod?
It would be five or six staff people, depending upon how we do that. Six positions is $380,000. Five positions would be a little over $320,000. I didn't have that exact number because we're going to have to make a recommendation to you. One, that the jail population is as bad as it has been in some months. And secondly, how's the best way to handle that? But the way we got the dollar amount was based on the maximum amount we could go up but leave the rate the same.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? I saw a couple other heads nod. Okay. The other piece that I think is helpful is, again, to illustrate the property tax levy itself. One of the items that we include regularly, and I know with my old eyes I end up needing reading glasses, but this two-page summary is probably one of the simplest and easiest documents to follow your entire county budget. On each side, you'll see compared 2012 to 2013, revenues, expenditures, use of fund balance, and where the increase is. And on the second page is actually a summary of your property tax levy and your mill rate, as well as the intro budget letter, transmittal letter, actually summarizes. So in 2012, your adopted operating tax levy was $23.8 million, your library levy, $1.6 million, your debt levy, how much you actually tax to pay debt payments each year, is $3.9 million for a resulting mill rate of 3.86, rounded to 3.87. Your recommended levy then, and I want to walk you through this, the operating levy, that's where that $300,000 increase is. Your library levy increased by a much smaller amount, but remember, those of you that live in the city of La Crosse don't pay that levy. It's the best way to describe it is the library levy is like a donut. It surrounds the city of La Crosse, is only taxed to the surrounding areas, because you have your own library, and that's taxed through the city property taxpayers. We're not allowed to tax twice for that service. And as you also see, the debt levy then is applied to all property taxpayers. So again, the only two increases in the operating levy and the library levy, we've held debt payments to the same dollar amount. Then the mill rate comparison is in that lower left box, the second lower left box in the mill rate comparison. This shows you a three-year comparison, and you'll see how we're holding the line on the operating rate of 3.126, rounded to 3.13. The operating rate would go up only by the dollar amount, so the rate stays the same. The library rate stays at 0.212. Or 2.17, rounded to 0.22. Debt again stays rounded at 0.52. So again, the overall mill rate per thousand stays the same from 1 year to the next. Historically, of course, this gives you the last 3 years as well as the current recommended year. The only increase in 2010 and 2011 was for increased rate for making the debt payment. Otherwise, operating, all the other expenses were held to zero until this year, with that one exception that I talked about for this year. This shows you the tax rate history. If you were to adopt the this year's budget, again, a flat line at 3.87 overall. And then I thought just to describe, particularly perhaps for new board members, just basic terms, because sometimes people mix these up and it just might be helpful. The tax levy is the total expenditures that are not paid from outside revenues, fees, or reserve. That's the amount that we actually show up in your individual line items as a portion of taxes under the county property taxes. That's what we're actually appropriating against every individual property. The tax rate is that dollar amount, that in this case just over $29 million, divided by the total equalized value. So that's what it means to be a tax rate. So if equalized value just dropped, it would, and we never spent anything more than what we already established, the rate would go up. If the value goes up, a lot of new construction, a lot of new homes, and our dollar amount of spending stayed the same, the tax rate would drop. So that's just a simple way of reminding you of those things. Then there are three ways that the state regulates our ability to change taxes. So there are two types of existing property tax levy limits. One is the 1993 operating rate limit of $3.24 that was fixed on us back in 1993, even though we still have currently the 14th lowest rate of all 72 counties. Again, it's a derivative of how much equalized value you have. If you had a much higher equalized value, let me use this as an example. I'll digress for a second. Ozaukee County in the state has one of the lowest tax rates in the state. In fact, I believe it's the lowest. They are a county of about the same size as us population-wise. They have almost twice the amount of equalized value, a much richer community. So it's easy to have a very low tax rate if you have a very high equalized value. So just to give you economies of scale. So we're still held to the 1993 operating rate limit. We also now, under the current administration and legislature, have a 0% levy limit per year, except for allowance for an increased value of new construction, which is what we're relying on this year, that 1.1% that I talked about earlier, and, of course, paying off any pre-2005 debt. We've been very aggressive at trying to pay off debt when it makes sense and as quickly as possible. The rate limit itself was suspended for 2 years. That means that we could go beyond the rate limit of 324, but then if they let it go back into place, which they're likely to do in 2014, we'd have problems to make up. So that's why we're not taking a chance that the state will follow through, even though, as you know, if you've participated in WCA, we're asking for all counties to be operating under the same levy limit because we already spend less than other counties. And finally, the legal debt limit for use of debt is at 5% of equalized value. So as I described earlier, once you separate out the debt that's still outstanding, we could, in theory, issue another $328 million of total debt. Obviously, I'd see no reason we'd ever consider that, but that gives you an idea how much margin that you actually have. So we're nowhere close to utilizing too much debt. That doesn't mean we should be issuing a lot more debt. It ought to be driven by very specific policy choices and decisions, but we're nowhere close to exceeding that area. Please. Madam Chair.
Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I got a question. I asked Gary this. I'm curious to see what answer I get from you, Mr. O'Malley. The legal debt limit, that's just principal, though, right? That does not include interest.
That's my understanding. That's principal outstanding.
Got the same answer. No. Thank you.
Also note one of the shortest answers I've ever given. Next, again, we'll give you some handouts on this. This also helps to illustrate some of the comparisons and contrasts with other counties. Our total budget, as described in the budget message, is $137.6 million. As you can see, it's a pretty diverse budget. About a quarter of our budget is in human services, a smaller portion in courts and public safety. If you saw this same expenditure in other counties, you would not see that large kind of orange or goldenrod pie chart over there. We operate two nursing homes, so our total budget tends to be a little bit larger than some similar size counties because we have two operating nursing homes. Solid waste, many counties don't do solid waste. They don't do landfills or waste energy or that type of thing, and that's going to be relevant when I describe some of the debt issues that we've got that are also are unique. But of that $137 million budget, only 22% of that total budget is supported by property taxes. Again, that's a very low percentage compared to many other counties where you would see numbers of 30 to 50% of their budget. Cities tend to have a much larger percentage of their budget supported by property taxes. That shows the complexity of issues like solid waste revenues that are paid for by the users, nursing home operations that are paid by Medicaid or Medicare, human services that you're doing your best to maximize federal and state revenue. So it shows you the complexity that while we tend to spend most of our time talking about property taxes and tax levy, because that's obviously where that impacts your constituents most is in their property tax bill, we do the most we can to try to control this area. It also shows, remember, what a difference, while courts was and public safety was a relatively small portion of the $137 million pie chart that I just showed you, it's a very large portion of our budget. Because courts in general, public safety, law enforcement, jail, don't have a lot of revenues. It's primarily property tax that's supporting that. Other items, just to reemphasize just a little bit, is while we were able to bring in a zero other than that one line item, the impact is spread across multiple departments. It was not an equal percentage across the board. That's an advantage of having an operation that's not driven by individual silos or individual departments fighting for their own needs. It's recognizing the team approach that we've built over really a decade of trying to figure out how one department can get their needs met this year, another one can postpone those needs. We've spent a lot of our last decade dealing with law enforcement, dealing with the jail, dealing with courts, dealing with those kinds of issues. We're hoping to hold the line on that while now we begin to catch up on things like maintenance needs of the highway, highways, capital projects, those types of things. So that's the goal, is to work to do that. And obviously we look for position attrition in many departments that have helped us reach this zero. And the Human Services Department had such a good year financially last year, they've been able to help support maintaining services, but not having to have an increase in levy, actually being able to shift some of that priority into highway. Whereas in previous years, highway was able to help shift some of the resources into human services, for example. There was no increase in health and dental premiums for the third year in a row. Our employees are very engaged in wellness and trying to help us control costs and work with us, as well as the 2% wage increase, which is compliant with the Act 10 changes that were made. All of our bargaining units have agreed voluntarily to pay their share of Wisconsin retirement, with the one exception of the deputies union, which we're still in arbitration regarding that issue. We have a moderate reliance on fund balance. I'll talk about that a little bit. And we're not highly reliant on increased user fees. There will be a couple of exceptions that people will want to debate. PRD has started to discuss some of those. There will be a full resolution that comes to the board on that. But again, we utilize user fees where we feel it's appropriate. And you as a board make that decision each year with a full catalog of all user fees. Again, we instituted that a number of years ago. So you know exactly where we're charging fees and why, and can debate any individual line item. Cool. Madam Chair, there's a question.
Supervisor Landry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Steve, could you remind me, and I guess the rest of the supervisors, of the fact that when you bring up potential new fees, that it's not arbitrary, and you know, you don't say, oh, there's a gap, so let's just come up with a fee here or there, right, and maybe we can sneak it through. Can you go through what that criteria was very briefly?
Well, specifically what we tried to do is periodically identify what the impacts are on cost. It'll be driven by if there's a decrease in revenue or an increase in expense. But the general philosophy is that the user of a service should pay the cost of providing that service. Secondly, that we should charge no more than the actual cost of providing that inspection or that licensing or that type of thing. So staff actually goes through and identifies and estimates the amount of hours that are involved in an individual inspection or an individual service. In addition to that, we do a comparison with other counties that charge similar types of fees. So we use all that information in our recommendation. The other thing is we don't just arbitrarily raise fees every single year unless there's a way that there is increased revenue coming from that, where we can say in health and some of the other items, but we systematically try to go through. So for example, the two that are having the most discussion at PRD, and we'll have more discussion when it comes to the full board, are farmland preservation and zoning fees. Zoning fees, for example, haven't been raised in most cases since 2003, but the building industry has been so low that even if it increases our cost to provide that service, we haven't recommended any fees. We're recommending some small changes. In farmland preservation, you'll hear more discussion, as PRD has, in relation to decreases in revenue from the state for that service, providing farmland preservation inspection, and whether or not we actually provide more service than the user is actually getting out. So we do a lot of detailed analysis, and there'll be a whole explanation of that when you get that resolution and that full catalog, and then I imagine we'll have PRD will actually weigh in on that as well. So it's not arbitrary. It's actually pretty scientific and pretty detailed based on a lot of data. Then again, if you use, and we'll start to actually use some of the documents that you receive, if you want to see where the increases in levy are, because some departments were held to an absolute zero, some were able to decrease their levy, and some were actually able to increase, if you look in the far right-hand column, you'll actually see those that required some level of increase. And the top departments that, in this case, needed some increase based on changing priorities, number one, obviously, was in highway. I've talked about that before. And that's just in direct maintenance levy. That's not including the capital project that capital projects that I'll talk about. Information technology, over the years, we've been able to lower their levy based on carry forward dollars as well as applying a general fund in that area. This year, and we'll go through some of those details as we get further, after we get through executive committee and do a detailed review, but we're not using as much general fund. You'll notice actually in that line item, in 2012, we applied $248,000 of carry forward and general fund. This year, our decision to become more self-sufficient directly on the property tax levy. This was a good year to catch that up. We're only using $44,000 of carry-forward dollars. So again, technology and the use of technology and automation is so critical to our entire operation. IT provides a valuable service, but we should pay for it directly from ongoing operations, and we don't have as much carry-forward dollars from unfinished projects to be able to carry forward. The third item, and the biggest one, in addition to the other two that I just
excuse me, Mr. O'Malley. Sorry. Supervisor Richmond.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. O'Malley, I had a, thank you, Madam Chair. Question on highway maintenance. I looked at page 37 under non-departmental 106.4. Item number is 79127, highway maintenance, jail staffing. and it shows $314,000 in the 2013 budget. What is that used for,
then? That would be in addition to the $400,000, but that would be a decision, as I mentioned earlier, by the full county board to either allocate it to jail or to highway maintenance or a combination of both once we have a few more months of what's happening in the jail. That's that 1% that I talked about, and that's not counted in that $400,000 that's in that upper right-hand corner. That's a separate decision that can only be made by the county board to allocate that money to either of those purposes. And we expect that currently the highway department is about $1 million under its need for highway maintenance. So we can easily find other ways to spend that, and you would make that decision in the first quarter of next year.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Let's see. Oh, Mississippi Valley Health Services. You'll see that's $1,618,000. Let's see if I can find that page, because I think this is educational. If you go to page 348 of your budget book, if you bear with me, this is the place that Mississippi Valley Health Services, or Lakeview, actually provides a tax levy. Remember that a number of years ago, when Lakeview Healthcare Center became not just an operation for La Crosse County, but we ended up sharing costs through the consortium called Mississippi Valley Health Services with 12 other counties, we ended up taking the levy from directly supporting Lakeview and doing it through this chargeback. This chargeback is where La Crosse County is only taxed to pay for the clients that are La Crosse counties. But here's one of the problem areas. You'll see that the total operating amount back in 2010 was $1,247,000, and today it's $1,973,000. You see that? We end up utilizing some fund balance from the years before the state allowed us to use the money from charging those other counties to help lower that to $1,006,000. So that's the actual amount your property taxpayers are paying under this budget next year. That's an increase from $1,004,000. The reason for that is the biggest growth area is Western Wisconsin Cares La Crosse County clients that has gone from $611,000 to $808,000. The state will not allow Western Wisconsin Cares to pay that per diem. It's shifting the cost back to us, back to La Crosse County. That's one of the problem areas, but we're not for that fund balance, we actually would have had another $300,000 on top of that to the property tax levy. That's the area where we're actually still levying property taxes to provide for our portion of care at Lakeview Healthcare Center. So again, that had to go up this year. Our hope is to find longer-term ways to control those costs in whatever the future of Lakeview ends up looking like, but this continues to be an ongoing issue for us because we're not able to recover all of the costs of care there. That's a result of Medicaid being inadequate to cover the full cost of care. And finally, there are three other budgets at the top of those yellow pages that without a lot of increased other operating costs, jail, facility, and sheriff's patrol. Again, those departments don't have other revenue sources that they're able to offset a lot of their costs just to provide either changes of somebody going from single to family health insurance, or they're going through the pay range system or the 2%. So again, that summarizes the departments that this year are experiencing the largest increase, and then you can end up going down through and seeing where the other decreases are. So I think this is a useful document if you want to see where the shifts that are going on. The next item that I'd like to highlight just a little bit more, again, what we give you is a full comprehensive book of all line items for every department. We walk through for each of the governing committees, the main departments that report to you. So after the budget message, the levy worksheet, okay.
Too much to do.
Sorry about that. Okay, Sharon cut me off. Well, I guess I'm done. Okay. These numbers actually correspond to the org, or the budget organization that's in your book, as well as, of course, the table of contents does that. It's followed by the detailed budgets and summaries for all of the budgets. Then it goes into the goldenrod, which is the capital budget. Again, some of this is old hat for board members that have been on for a number of terms. I'm doing this as much for new members if you haven't gotten into the detail. The other change that we made in the capital shows you that you'll see a five-year capital outlay plan for most departments organized across the way. The only decision that we're debating is whether or not it's included in the current 2013 budget. Every other column beyond that is for future planning and doesn't authorize the staff to proceed with any of those items. It's only the 2013 column. It just tries to identify for planning purposes what we see in our crystal ball for the next couple of years. In addition to that, at page 6 is a complete redo and reanalysis that you've also seen when Ron Chamberlain has described this for you of how we structure our analysis of our capital improvement and maintenance needs for highway department, excuse me, for capital improvement needs, not for maintenance needs. It identifies projects, and then you'll see the years that they're scheduled. Again, beyond the 2013 budget year, it doesn't authorize us to follow through on each one of those, but you can see the ongoing demand, as well as a more detailed way of describing the gross expense, where we get grant funding or where there's other funding, instead of lumping them all into one area as we used to do. And it also shows some of the complexity of staying on top of majors and enhancements, other maintenance projects, bridge design, construction, recon and rehabilitation, and the complexity of the various things that we're managing there. And then it's followed by a detailed summary of the FTEs and salary information by department. So that's the biggest document that you get. And then the other handouts, and I know there will be more questions on that as you go through committees, but I just wanted for those members that haven't spent much time with that yet. Then we've, over the years, developed these different quick summaries for you that people have asked for, basically, to know, because otherwise there are items that are buried within individual budgets that people want to do some comparisons with. So the first one, of course, is outside agencies and associations. Either through funding or memberships or contributions to outside agencies, we have a list of those that are here, and you can find those by the page number that are there. That's the separate sheet that you have. Again, I won't touch on any of those unless somebody wants me to on any of those outside agencies. I'll see if there's any of those that people have a question.
Supervisor Schrader.
Yeah. There was a separate packet of handouts that each of you would have gotten that was kind of wrapped together by a green sheet. I'm highlighting these as much for the new members as well as if there are other summaries that you'd like us to put together or look at, let us know. And we can get you duplicates, too, if you misplaced it. But again, the outside agencies is everything from our contribution to Dive Rescue to our memberships in WCA and NACO, to economic development contributions to various organizations. But again, it's a way of letting you know what's included in this budget, because some years we've had significant debates about each one of these items or many of them. Okay, the next sheet is the ongoing historical use of our excess sales tax. And again, for new members, to define that, when we budget in 1064, we budget directly property tax that goes against the bottom line of the entire property tax levy. Of this year, we're budgeting for 2012 $9.7 million. We're projecting that in 2013 we'll receive from the retail sales tax, that 0.5% that the county made a decision a number of years ago to levy, that we'll receive $10.2 million from that revenue stream that goes directly against the property tax levy. When we make a budget estimate, if we exceed that budget estimate, it ends up in this column here called excess sales tax. Because we want to be as conservative as we possibly can by not over-projecting, but that dollar goes into there, and it can be used for any purpose that you can use property tax levy for. So a number of years ago, we put all economic development activities into one budget, and we've been charging against that to spend that down. We also had one year where Mr. Spiker suggested we use it for highway construction, and we used a whole $1.3 million one year towards highway construction. So again, that allows you to track and see the history of what we're actually receiving, as well as year by year what our projection is on that dollar amount. The next big spreadsheet is really a summary of all of the unassigned fund balances in your entire comprehensive financial report. This was an initiative, and again, I apologize, it's pretty small print, but when I use my reading glasses, I can see the details. When I was first hired, I didn't need reading glasses. I don't know what's... But this gives you an area-by-area projection of our fund balances by each area and what they're reserved for. And again, unless there are questions right now, I just wanted to help you know what's actually provided to you. Next is the blue sheet, which talks about how we budget our use of fund balances. There are times where it makes sense to use fund balances for one-time only expenses. There are other times where it helps you not have to levy property taxes for it because it's use of the financial strength that you've built. And again, we provide this so you see a three-year comparison. Some of them, for example, let me pick on one that we talked about at aging this morning. At the top of the second page, you'll see from a state donation fund to offset levy increase. In 2012, we had budgeted from the Darrell Larson estate $58,000. Their revenues came in so good this year, and we're expecting it to continue, that we won't end up using that, even though we budgeted that amount. So we felt comfortable with budgeting $74,000 next year to help keep their property tax levy at the same. Given their track record, we may not end up using all that because they tend to end up maximizing revenues from sources that they haven't yet identified. So it's just an example so you can see where we're using it and where we're not. It also shows at the bottom of the page we've been utilizing highway fund balance to make that debt service payment for highway, and I'll talk about that in a moment with our use of debt. Last but not least, another initiative that we initiated is our actual use of debt, the projected principal balances, and the total dollar amount that's due at the end of 2011, at the projected at the end of 2012, and at the end of 2013 if you adopt the budget that's brought to you. So we're trying to bring down our use of debt, but again, there are times that we have to use it and it's appropriate, and we're recommending to do that, obviously, for that large highway project County OA. So again, hopefully you can spend some time with that. If you have questions either during budget deliberation or outside, please visit with us. One of the unique items that I think it's helpful to understand that is unique for La Crosse County is while we have a large dollar amount, and I would say, Supervisor Friedland, this is a significant amount of money. That's a joke from earlier in the meeting. What's a significant amount of money? I'd say $67 million worth of debt is obviously a significant amount of money. But recognize that we are unique in that a large portion of it is in solid waste. There will be, and that's for the waste energy environmental improvements. It's for landfill cell development, a number of things. Some counties won't have a solid waste operation. Some don't have a landfill. The reason I'm pointing that out is that's not serviced by property tax dollars. We don't use any property tax debt service to make that debt payment. It's entirely paid for by solid waste revenues. Highway construction, on the other hand, is paid for by property tax dollars, and we've been utilizing more debt in that area because we have inadequate funds to be able to do that, so we're spreading out the cost of highway projects over a longer period of time, particularly while we're paying for the law enforcement center. Pension liability, business fund, and old landfill are much smaller dollar amounts. I updated this just the other day that, and those of you that have been on the board for a while will recognize that I've added a new part of that chart, which is the green bar. That is starting in, let's see, I do need my glasses here. In 2013, you'll start to see how we start to utilize the savings from the dropping of the law enforcement center debt to service highway debt. As we're making the payments from highway fund balance. By 2014, we no longer will be using very much highway fund balance. We'll end up using direct debt levy to make that, because we'll be paying off, and you'll see at the end of 2014 that blue part of the bar will go away. That blue part of the bar is the debt service payments that were for the 1997 Law Enforcement Center. Some of you have heard me say one of our most difficult problems in debt management is we've had to pay for two law enforcement centers. While we are building a $30 million addition, we were still making payments on the first one. And so we had to spread that out over a period of time, which meant that we didn't have as much debt room within our existing debt levy to be able to make highway payments or do an administrative center or many of the other items. So I'll come back to that as we get into the details of debt discussion. As I go through the committees, we did highlight with the committees, and this is a review. These two slides were in your previous presentation when I distributed the budget book. Public Works and Infrastructure and Veterans have gone through most of theirs. Planning, Resources, and Development has only briefly begun to touch on fees and has not yet reviewed their individual budgets. Tomorrow, Judiciary and Law will talk about a number of the initiatives there with video presentations. We'll be talking more about jail population challenges. And, of course, tomorrow night, Health and Human Services will go through a number of the big issues that are there. And with the last two slides, then, I want to talk to you about the decisions that you'll be making over the next couple of months and into the new year. In the November cycle, you'll receive that full catalog of all fees and charges, including the zoning fees, the farmland preservation, health, medical examiner, and human services. Again, some small changes in there, but there'll be policy decisions you'll be asked to make. You'll also receive two separate resolutions that will talk about position changes. Anytime a position comes up vacant in the organization, we spend time in management team and with the department head trying to see if there's some way to fill it at part-time, to rearrange duties, to not fill the position, even if it's only cutting it from full-time to 0.8. And we'll talk about how we've been able to do that in a number of different areas, zoning, aging, a number of different areas to save money. In addition to that, there will be some increases that we'll ask for your approval that are paid for with outside funding, most specifically in the area of the Regional Economic Support Consortium, REA, that you've heard more talk about. We're utilizing other revenue rather than local property taxes to do that. The third big item is whether or not you'll accept the concept of raising the property tax levy by that 1.1% to raise that $314,000 and then to make a decision in the first quarter between jail staffing or highway maintenance. Again, you could choose to not increase that, drop the levy back to zero, and you wouldn't have that option, but then it really makes it a more difficult thing for us in the future. But that's a policy choice on your behalf. Finally, on this side is obviously during the first quarter next year, we expect our recommendations and results back of the Lakeview study, review those recommendations and facility decisions. The facility would require bonding. The good news is that the debt service would not begin to be paid until 2014 if you choose to do that, and we're expecting reimbursement from the revenue stream of operations to actually make that payment. You will not have to raise property taxes to make that debt payment. That doesn't make it easy, but it means that just like solid waste has a revenue stream to make that debt payment, that's what we're expecting our recommendation to be. However, you still have the property tax levy for operations, so it still is an ongoing thing. But again, there's nothing in this budget that assumes you will do that. The study will end up coming back with results, and that decision will require a two-thirds vote, just as issuing of debt requires a two-thirds vote. In addition to that, during 2013, we're expecting to do A&E analysis. You would have to make a bonding decision for that. There is not sufficient cash, I believe, to do that without really depleting our reserves. There are not any easy decisions on this slide either. Highway capital projects and increased maintenance. After in November, you will be asked to actually approve the $2.1 million debt issuance that's included in this current 2012 budget. You will be asked to consider maintenance and equipment needs going beyond, and the 2013 budget assumes the bonding for OA, which is a 10-year note, not a 5-year note, because it's that large a dollar amount. And finally, during 2013 and beyond, we either need to accept declining road conditions and what that means, and not being able to catch up, or we need to look for increased use of debt beyond what we've currently done. We've basically been holding the line at the same rate and the same dollar amount. If equalized value starts to rise, it almost makes your decision easier. You could raise more if you left the rate the same. I don't think we're going to have that quick a turnaround in values. So I think we're going to be stuck with these kinds of choices. Do we actually let roads deteriorate and not provide more? Do we find new funding sources like increased debt, like increased levy when we have chances to do that within the levy limits? Or finally, the concept of a dedicated wheel tax or other. Those decisions aren't presumed in this 2013 budget, but those are the kinds of issues and choices you're going to be expected to make for 2014 and beyond. So that's all the information that I wanted to share with you tonight, and to give especially new board members some of the background on the documentation we give you, and also just to keep reminding you that our staff is available, I'm available. If you have questions, you weren't sure how you heard something, because we give you a lot of information, or you're reading through something, and what was that? I'm not sure why that's there, or didn't we say we weren't doing that? And that's all right. There are no, for lack of a better term, stupid questions. The questions are, you as policymakers need to have the information that you need, and we need to explain it as clearly as we can. And this is the result not of my work. It's the result of an entire team of people, of a finance department, Mary Powell, Sharon Davidson, Jonathan Edwards, throughout the entire group, Gary Engelson, as well as each one of the individual departments that have made this work each and every year. So I'll just take a breath and see if there are any other any questions that I haven't touched on or that we can do tonight.
Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. O'Malley, I looked at the economic development on page 33-1061. I see you have a $15,000 increase from previous years for the business industry promotion. What would that $15,000 be used for?
Yeah, there's actually a resolution coming from economic development, and if it passes executive committee on Wednesday, we'll be proposing a new grant program that will partner with the private sector and Western Technical College. And rather than steal that thunder, there will be a resolution on this board's agenda to talk about whether or not to start that in this year and then use that funding next year as well. If the resolution didn't pass this month or next month, then obviously we would end up reducing that line item.
What would it be used for again?
It's a grant program that will actually work with businesses that are trying to develop additional markets for their small businesses, and will work with Western Technical College to do that. The full grant proposal and the resolution is actually on this month's agenda, so I'm doing this from memory, and I'd rather have you actually have the whole document to describe it better than I'm doing right now.
And then the other line item I had was the $11,313 that hadn't been in the budget before, administrative services, 65001.
Right. I estimate that I spend at least 5% of my time devoted to economic development, so in order to charge part of me to this budget, I put that in to reduce the levy for the county administrator's budget.
So that $11,000 is taken out of your salary then?
No, it's taken out of the budget and charged to economic development. It's using a different revenue source to pay for a portion of my wages than property taxes.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Which brings us to one of my favorite subjects, would be indirect costs. That what you're talking about there is actually an indirect cost, correct? From the Economic Development Fund?
No, that's charging part of my time to a different budget. Indirect cost is where we're actually charging departments for all administrative services together, admin, IT. This is direct charge of my services to economic development. Indirect cost is a very specific line item in a very specific budget where it includes all overhead, admin, IT, finance. This is that one that you're talking about is a form of indirect cost, but it's not that line item.
Okay, and will we get a list this year of the indirect costs and what
correct.
The real and what the real costs are, so that we can compare? I realize that we're not going to fund them at full, but it just gives folks a better idea of program costs.
Certainly, we'll be providing that later. Yep.
And the other thing, when we use the term excess sales tax, wouldn't levy replacement dollar be a more descriptive term for that?
I guess that's up to the county board. I mean, it's interchangeable. The source of it is really from sales tax.
Correct. Correct, but excess means it's extra, where every dollar that's excess could be used to replace a levy dollar, correct?
Correct.
So, I mean, I think that when we try to say, well, this isn't really costing the taxpayer money because it's excess sales tax, it is really costing money because we could have used that to replace a levy dollar. So I just think it's a really kind of disingenuous of us in trying to make it sound like it's not a dollar that we could save the taxpayers on levy. Thank you.
Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our projected interest rates on our investments in 2013, are they any different than 2012, the interest rates we got in 12?
Probably lower.
I think they could get any lower.
Nice. Page 37, I think, is where we have
it's,
that.
Yeah. The reason it's lower is, keep in mind again, that some of our investments are 2 to 3 to 4 years long. So something that we might have invested in 3 years ago is coming due. It's maturing and so forth and so on. The average interest rate that we budgeted is probably in the 1 to 1.5 range.
Going.
We'll have a couple of handouts then. One is just the slides that we just did, as well as one page of correction on a page 306 in the budget book was inadvertently, there's a wrong summary page that was installed. So Gary will be distributing that. And I don't know if there are other questions, but that's all I had for this evening.
Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Steve, you want to explain that we took $3 million out of the general fund because we were not getting the interest rate, and we'll put that in the budget each year. Where are we at that now, at what amount?
You're talking about the interest stabilization reserve.
Yeah.
Let's see, is that on the, that's on the unassigned?
And how you decide how much amount of money to take out of there each year?
We haven't applied anything new other than that was set for that purpose, and there's no science to it. We try to make the best estimate we can on how it will go, but we've tried to wean ourselves off of that over time, because at one time, what Supervisor Spiker is referring to is, at one time, our reserves made enough in interest that we could very significantly save property tax dollars. We used to make, just on investment of our reserves, $2.6 million a year. If you look at the line item that Supervisor Geary was just referencing, we'll make $480,000 next year on that same dollar amount. From $2.6 million to $480,000. That's what interest rates have impacted our ability to apply against property taxes. So a number of years ago, because we had such a healthy reserve, we set up an interest stabilization account, and I'll take your word for it, of $3 million. I don't remember the exact amount. We've utilized that to help wean ourselves off of that high amount of interest that we used to be able to do. Without having to cut $2.2 million out of everything that would have to happen, we allowed some of our reserves to kind of wean us off of relying on that. Because for a number of years in a row, we were making excellent interest, obviously, when the economy was different. So do we have the dollar amount? Can we get that for you later? We're not finding it just now, but but we are weaning ourselves off of that.
I think the balance is around 1.5 or million or so, just off the top of my head, but we'll get the exact amount for you.
And we'll try to bring that to the next board meeting, along with the other item that you asked for. We've got a detailed TIF report on the Lakeview Business Park that was at Economic Development, and that information will come to the full board next Thursday.
Well, the reason I bring a lot of these things up is because a lot of supervisors from got elected in April, and 2 years ago in April, there's things that we've been dormant now, and it really wouldn't hurt for the old members of the board to hear what is going on in the Merritt Park Plaza and all them.
Yep.
And that's I thought was the purpose of the planning meeting.
Yeah, and I couldn't get Brian's schedule to free up, so I'm going to do it at a regular meeting just so we respond as quickly as we could. He wasn't available tonight, or I would have put it on tonight.
Any other questions on the budget? Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are we going to have a chance, since we have to make decisions about this budget for 2013 and concerning the operations of the jail and possible expansion into a new pod, are you going to have Sheriff Helgeson come in and talk to us about that, or are we going to get a report on that?
Well, I know he'll be obviously attending tomorrow's judiciary and law, but you won't have to make that decision before the end of the year, particularly if you don't include that line item in the budget. The goal is we've reconvened the cross-divisional work team of probation, parole, courts, law enforcement, jail, to try to see if there are ways of making sure we can get that jail population back down. It seems that we're having an effect on that. We're going to continue to meet on a monthly basis. So whether or not this is a bad spike that, you know, we can't go beyond, or if in first quarter next year it's just an ongoing trend.
We don't have to make a decision on to spend that money, but we're going to levy for it. If it's not going to be used for that purpose, it sounds like it's going to be used for highway.
But
one or the other.
But it'll be a decision by this board.
Yes.
Either or.
So
certainly.
That decision, the levy dollars is there. It's just going to be.
If you leave that in the budget, right.
Decide that in a quarter, first
right.
quarter.
Okay. Right. So certainly the sheriff will come back and talk more about those issues just as he has in the past. But what I'm trying to do is see if we can have an impact on that so we have more than one option.
Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. Mr. O'Malley. At the planning meeting out at the highway maintenance shop, there was discussion on the wheel tax. And I know you had it up on the board for possible in 2014. I guess I had assumed that was going to be, there was going to be more discussion in this year so that we could probably go forward sooner than later. I mean, that's one way that we should be paying for some of the highway maintenance costs that we have. And I guess I would like more information. I thought Supervisor
sure.
Geary had asked for that information, too. I think we need to get the wheels rolling, quote, quote.
Let me finish with that. We will follow up then if I'll give you more details. It just didn't make it in my budget as a recommendation, but as a policy choice, certainly, I apologize. We'll bring you back the details on what it would mean, what the action is required, where it could be spent. We'll bring that back to a future meeting, probably the November planning meeting, because I also want to start out with Public Works Committee before that comes back to the full board. But I apologize. We will bring that back. But, again, it didn't end up in my budget because I wasn't willing to make that recommendation at this point. But we will follow through. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. And then that 2% increase in salaries, is that just for the union contracts, or is that across the board for everyone?
Just as we've done in the past, we will bring you a resolution to consider that for non-union, which would follow the same pattern as for union.
Thank you.
Supervisor Geary.
Thank you. Back to that $314,000, you said we could split it between staffing and highway if we'd open the pod like later in the year. Well, then the real impact would be in 2014 because then you'd have it for the full year, right?
Right.
If we waited the last quarter, it would seem fairly cheap, but that'll lock us in 2014 for five or six more positions, right?
You're exactly right. And, of course, at that point, we'll make a recommendation and what is the impact on 2014, whether or not we do it all at once, not at all, but we'll bring that information back to you during the new year.
Any further questions on budget? Seeing none, I'll move on to suggestions for future agendas. Any suggestions for anything you want to hear about? Supervisor Geary.
Well, maybe we need it from Mr. Taunt, what the other counties gave for increases for 2013 or what they're projected to give. I think Mr. Taunt, does he get that information? If he doesn't, maybe he could compile it by November and just have a spreadsheet or something and see what the other counties gave.
Yes, we can do that.
Okay.
Okay, anything else? In that case, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Supervisor Richmond, seconded by Supervisor Landre. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. We're adjourned. Thank you.